You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, welcome in. Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's Sal Montes. In the house, we have Chris Collins. He's from Inspo Lens. He brings us live video and live feed of Minor Talk that's going on right now. I wasn't planning to be live on camera, but I guess I am, and I'm rocking the UTEP like sweatshirt. So we're making it work, Sal. It's after hours. It's the 8 p.m. after hour edition of Minor Talk. We got George Wajardo in the building as well. He is with us, and he is back with us as well. And yeah, we're talking another UTEP loss. Disappointing, you know, finish. I mean, on one hand, Minor fans could say, you know, if you're an optimist, you're going to say, well, no camper, you fought toward the end, they had a chance in this game, 9 lead changes. Miners were kind of dead in the water early in that second half. You looked at that big lead that Western Kentucky had, it was 42-33. They led by 9 points, but the Miners were able to come back in the second half. They catapulted themselves using a huge, I think it was like 26-12 run in the second half to take a lead, and then it was just kind of back and forth through the stretch. So if you're an optimist, you might say, well, Miners had good fight, Miners had, you know, the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers on the road. But on the flip side, if you're glass half empty on looking at this one right here, you're not going to necessarily take excuses, period. You're going to say Miners should have won against a Western Kentucky team that right now isn't in the top, you know, 3-4 or top tier of Conference USA, at least as of right now. Western Kentucky on any given night can beat any of these teams. Yes, they did have kind of back against the wall after losing back-to-back on the road. I know they beat Sam Houston recently, 75-66, but they want to be a contender, not a team who's outside looking in. I just don't think this Western Kentucky team is as good as last year's team. Maybe I'm wrong. I know they had continuity coming back. Newman not being there is a big loss, but man, it's just the same guys doing it. McHenry, Leander, but to stay with the glass half full, we'll get to McHenry and Leander in just a little bit, but to stay with the glass half empty, I should say, the pessimist for UTEP basketball after watching this one will simply question, why can't UTEP finish these games in closing minutes? I know these games are close. I know CUSA has parity. I know that these teams are kind of close to each other, but if you're looking at this, you know, on both sides, those 5 minutes, those last closing minutes, that's where the game is won. And I know both sides were worn out. I don't just buy that UTEP was worn out. Western Kentucky looked sluggish down that stretch. Miners had a chance, but man, McHenry is a closer. He's that guy. He is that guy. And I think UTEP has whatever that guy is, in a mixture of Otis Frazier III, maybe a little bit of Corey Camper Jr., maybe a little Ahmad Bynum. But to not close out the game with Bynum and to have Heb on the court, I just want to know what was the decision there. I have questions after this one. I get it. No Camper, so I'm going to, you know, temper my expectations, or, you know, be more realistic when I look at this one here, Sal. But I guess I'm left after this one with questions going into the final 10 games of CUSA.
Yeah, and I think the frustrating part is that you expect more out of this team. I understand that Camper's out, but you still have a solid roster without him. And obviously, the goal is to get him back in the future. Who knows when, but in the future. So you want to be one of these teams at the top of Conference USA, and you want to stay there. But a game like today against Western Kentucky, who's had your number over these last couple of years, or pretty much since they joined Conference USA, if we're being honest, they have your number. You just can't seem to get a win against them, let alone out at Diddle Arena. So you got to be able to figure it out, because what was the whole point of that 10-33? This is the team that was in your way last year. That's supposed to be on your mind and do it at any cost. But unfortunately, and we'll talk more about the game, it just felt like the lights were too bright tonight for this team.
Ooh,
team,
yeah,
and staff,
you
all
know,
around.
The 10-33 mantra is a good point, you know, and I get it. That's twisting the knife a little bit, and I know it's CUSA play. We're not talking end of March, and we're not
overreacting
to
this.
We know they play them again, too, at home. Yeah.
But this is one of those losses that felt like they should have won. You know, and to your point, Sal, Western Kentucky simply has UTEP's number. They lead the all-time series 11-2. And, in fact, how about this one right here? In the most, during this past season, I should say the 2024 season, the Miners snapped a seven-game win streak by Western Kentucky. So, if you throw those seven games, if you take out the UTEP win and you add the CUSA championship win and tonight's game, that's 9 of the last 10, Sal. 9 of the last 10 mm-hmm. games there going Western Kentucky's way. They lead this series 11-2. That's lopsided there.
No, it definitely is. And I'll do you one even better. Another loss that they have in Conference USA is against New Mexico State, a team that's had their number as well. You got to be able to turn the corner. I don't know how. Obviously, it could be an overreaction. I mean, they're 0-1 against these teams with a crack at them again later on. But, I mean, you're not the big bad bully that you think you are. As good as you can be, you got to be like that every single game in Conference USA because it's all about the next one.
I think it's easy to just go out and say that with Camper they win this game, or with Camper you don't have as many turnovers, or with Camper the you know they force maybe even more than 18 turnovers. They get to 20 when it's all said and done. I think those takes are easy to make right now when you look at this basketball team because that drop off is significant. My question is, is Mods Bynum's defensive struggles, I guess, that he might have, or the frustrations that the coaching staff have with him defensively, enough to keep him off the floor through these stretches? And I guess the answer is yes, Sal.
It's hard, man.
I guess his defense just isn't there consistently. And look, I mean, he plays 21 minutes, you know, in a starting effort tonight and scores 2 3-pointers, but 8 points tonight in this one, 21 minutes of action. He was -8 when it was all said and done.
He was, but also, too, he's your best three-point shooter. He's the best three-point shooter in Conference USA. How you don't have him out there when you obviously need a three-point basket is a little bit mind-boggling, right? It's baffling. But also, too, if he's that valuable on offense, but perceived, I guess, in this context, right, like a liability on defense, that's why you don't have him out there. What are you going to do defensively to kind of accommodate that? You know what I mean? His offense is undeniable. His three-point shooting is reason alone to be out there. Got to tweak something out so he can be out there in the final minutes of a game when you need a bucket.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number to get into the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Thank you very much, Sal. We're going to get to Tom here in just a little bit. Want to welcome on George Rojardo. George, I'll get you on this mic right here. Yeah, that mic right there. You're being welcome onto the program for the first time. You're noticing a lot of different things, George, when it comes to this Western Kentucky team, what they do offensively, and I guess just give us your initial reactions to this.
Yeah, Adrian, thank you. So, I mean, obviously the two guys that stood out were Lander and McHenry, right? Christian Lander, 28 points, 11 for 15, 73% from the floor, Adrian. 73%. I couldn't shoot 73% in an empty gym. He did it.
I couldn't do it in 2K. Maybe with Richie James I could do it. If you know, you know.
There outrageous. You go. He missed. He made 6 straight shots in the second half till finally missing one with 42 seconds left. No answer for him. I don't know if UTEP even knows that he's left-handed and that he likes to go to his left. They had no interest in forcing him or making anything difficult for him. But between him and McHenry, they accounted for 55 total points. Western Kentucky, scored 78? So, I mean, an outrageous amount of offense from those two guys. They shot a combined 64%. I mean, just terrible from, like, guarding those two guys. And, yeah, my knee-jerk reaction was like, man, this defense is overrated. I think I'll wait on saying that until Corey Camper comes back. I don't know if this game's any different, but yeah, we could have used him tonight there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that completely. 915-505-6009. Tom is with us here on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. Tom, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, good evening, guys. Man, you know, minor basketball is fun. I don't care that they lost tonight. That was an exciting game. I was listening to this on the radio, and Teicher Man, it's special listening to a game called by John Teicher. Let me tell you.
Agreed completely,
it's,
Tom.
It's absolutely a gift. But I'll tell you, this team, people need to jump on board. You know, this was a tough road game, and they came back and took the lead by five. Okay, these guys were shooting the lights out, but the Miners fought their way back in this game. They took the lead. They almost stole this game from this team. I think they're going to go into Middle Tennessee and take one. But this league is so much fun. Everybody is bunched up. You know, anybody can take this thing this year, and it's fun to watch. And, you know, the Miners, yeah, I don't know. I think what they need to do is they're at the point now where the bigs have gotten good enough where they need to keep two of the three on the floor at the same time, take three of our guards, whether it's Terrell and it's Kemper or whatever, or Head or whatever the combination is, play heads up with their tough guys, take the fifth guy that sucks, and leave him alone. Leave him alone and leave the two bigs playing zone in the middle and force the worst guy on their team to take the shot and handle the ball. And just continue to do what they're doing because they're increasing on their rebounds. They continue to steal the ball on a regular basis. Man, this team is fun to watch. I think we're going to go up to New Mexico and we're going to win. I really do. And I think they're going to take this Middle Tennessee State game. These guys, I hope they're listening. You guys play great basketball. You got like two or three gears left in your game. Keep doing what you're doing. Just keep increasing the intensity. That's pretty much all I got to say.
All right, good stuff, Tom. Appreciate that. As we continue, 915-505-6009, the zone defense thing continues to be said on this program from callers, from people on Twitter and X. People really want UTEP to explore zone defenses, and I think it's because UTEP has ever really shown a zone defense. But what I'll say is if they didn't show it, since, you know, year one of Joe Golding, and you didn't see it at Abilene Christian, what makes you think that they're going to just implement the zone defense now? I think it's, you know, and it's not a terrible idea. I think, you know, I think now I'm more open to the idea of two forwards. Like, I saw the Jones-Hamilton lineup tonight, and I was like, wow, I'm surprised to see this one on the floor here. We're talking, you know, turning the page on January. We're talking January 30th right here, going into February, and we have Hamilton and Jones on the same court for this UTEP basketball team. We saw that today in full display. But the biggest thing that I see from, you know, just having those two bigs on the floor, not that it spells one of those defenders, or not that it, you know, hurts one of the opponents or anything like that. I just like what Jones is doing to space the floor, period. The three-pointer that he hit today, like, how does he follow up a career high against an actual Division I team, not one of these NAIA schools or anything like that? How does he follow up a career-best 12-point performance against Kennesaw State? A performance like tonight, like, that is what is excites you about maybe some of these players on UTEP, is the consistency night in, night out. But Sal, it's year four. Consistency is winning. And if you don't win this one, you know, and try to go back to back after beating Kennesaw State, I think that's where I still am kind of disappointed with this outcome when it was all said and done.
And that's what's going to separate the good teams or really competitive teams against the solid and great teams in different conferences. It's those teams who can win a tough road game against a top six or whatever opponent in the conference, or at least some form of a really competitive team who can catch fire, right? And the same can be said about every team in Conference USA. But if you want to be at the top of the conference, which is one of the goals, you got to be able to get these wins. After a win against a team who's somewhere around your level, you know, you're going to do this night in and night out. That's what you got to do if you want to be at the top, man. And they just didn't do it, but Jacksonville State did it tonight. I mean, New Mexico State got back to their winning ways on the road, so you got to get it together.
You know, to your point about New Mexico State, right? I mean, that win right there for the Aggies is huge tonight. Yep. Beating Middle Tennessee 61-57, they turn around and they've got Western Kentucky. Whatever happens, happens, right? They already won the weekend by splitting it on the road after kind of a tough home stretch that they had against Kennesaw State and Jacksonville State. So they kind of right their wrongs a bit with a win against Middle Tennessee. And then forget what happened Saturday. What happened Saturday for the Aggies will happen, but then they have that next game against UTEP. Saturday, February 8th. So for that, I like it. And for the Miners, they have a chance to still capture their own momentum, right? I mean, they go up against the Blue Raiders. The Blue Raiders have lost back-to-back, first to La Tech on the road, and then a home loss to New Mexico State tonight, in which it was real interesting because the biggest separator of this one ended up being Filipovic, and we've seen him kind of take over games, you know, even against the Miners and how he was able to do that. But he was doing it on both sides, offensively and defensively. Middle Tennessee's Porter, he had 14. He got his own, but he struggled from beyond the arc, and that's where Middle Tennessee suffered and really struggled tonight. 6 of 26 from 3 point range. Sal, as much as you know, we're saying we're kind of disappointed right here in what UTEP showed tonight, I think they still have an opportunity to catch some momentum going into the Battle of I-10 next week if they're able to beat Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, if you could do that, you're right on track. I know that we were saying how disappointing it was that they lost, but a lot of us were saying, hey, this would be solid if they can come away from this specific road trip with a split at the very least. So, no, you're absolutely right. Just as frustrated as people are today after losing to Western Kentucky, the wrongs could be righted, so to speak, when it comes to Saturday if you get that win over Middle, who, technically speaking, is better than Western when it comes to these conference standings. So another good thing, too, is that you get another crack at Western Kentucky. You'd mentioned New Mexico State. You get another crack at them. Get another crack at Jacksonville. So, I mean, you can definitely make it up. Just a lot of overreaction. Maybe me, too. I'm sorry.
I'm in the same way. I'm a little confused, though, after this one, too. Like, I'd almost rather UTEP just get blown out in the second half and you kind of understand what ended up happening. But to have a puncher's chance in the closing minutes and just fall a little short, that's where I wanted them to go out and steal this one, feeling that Saturday would be real difficult, knowing it's Middle Tennessee, but yeah, it just wasn't the case. And it's a team in Western Kentucky that just simply has UTEP's number. I mean, 11-2. That's the number to look at. Another team maybe you want to avoid in the CUSA tournament when it's all said and done. Hey, our telephone number here on the program, 915-505-6009. We're playing some highlights here if you're watching us live via Inspo Lens, which is really cool. We've got Brian who's going to join us here in just a little bit. I do want to mention a couple posts and tweets that came in, actually some texts too that came into the program. This is coming in from my pal Sidelines. He was saying this: Jacksonville State has now moved up to first place, kind of what you alluded to, Sal, and now it's a three-way tie for second between UTEP, Liberty, and Middle Tennessee as of now. This is coming in from Hunter, our pal. He says, Western Kentucky is not a top team. That's a win you need to have. They don't learn or adjust to anything. How do you let the guy do the same thing over and over again to beat you? Golding gets everything out of these guys in this, but he can't close these out. I don't like excuses. I also don't know how the plus minus works. Are you able to do with the plus minus with combined players? Like, what was the plus minus when Jones and Bynum were on the on the court at the same time? That's a good question. I think you could do that in the NBA. I don't actually think you can do that like in college, unless you have like I have like, you know, KenPom and stuff like that, but I can't like highlight two players and see when they were on the floor at the same time and kind of see what their plus minus was. I will say this though, for Elijah Jones, as far as his plus minus, plus 6, and for Ahmad Bynum in this matchup right here, he was minus 8. So I'd be curious to see what Jones Bynum looked like tonight, and what he's saying is he liked the passing and he liked the scoring distribution from both of them. The three-pointer that Bynum had to put them up top, and then the layup that he had, the up and under, that was sick. I mean, he's a human highlight reel out there. I know he had the turnovers, he steps out of bounds and stuff like that. I think it's just the defense that's keeping him off the court.
The interesting thing about Elijah Jones is that over these last couple of games, you've seen that willingness to exert that energy and trying to make an extra play, give that second or third effort, you know what I mean? And it's on a consistent basis, so we may see him on the floor a lot more just because of that. I mean, he's eager to go out there and make something happen. It doesn't even need the ball. You like the movement that he's having out there.
Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. George, I'll let you weigh in on this.
Yeah, no, Elijah Jones is one of those things where it's starting to become head scratching, right? Where it's like, why is he not getting more minutes? He should have been out there. And to your guys' points about Bynum over Hebb, especially in the crunch time, if Hebb is better at this point defensively. That's concerning, right? If he, if Hebb's defense outweighs Bynum's offense and his potential at this point to not have Bynum in when you need a three, as Sal said earlier, that's concerning. It's just strange. I thought we were going to see a lot more of Elijah Jones. He hits that three. He stretches the floor. I thought he played well with Hamilton. I think he went in with Calhoun, didn't he, also for a little bit earlier in that first half or early in the second? I'm not sure, but I thought the two big thing with Jones at the four is viable. Just because he has so much energy, he can cover and he can make up a lot of that that help defense that UTEP likes to run, right? So I think that he just needs to start seeing way more minutes at this point, and it hopefully comes at the cost of these other guys like Hebb, Horton, and I mean, KJ Thomas did all right today, but yeah, we need to start seeing more of Elijah Jones.
So Jones's average, I mean, to not diminish his playing time, because he actually has been getting more playing time.
Right.
He's averaged over double figure or double digits in minutes played in six of the how many CUSA games have they had so far? Well, I mean, he's already played in six of these games over 10 minutes in CUSA play. So six out of eight of the CUSA games so far. I do like that for Jones, and I do like the fact that Jones is getting, you know, 13 minutes off the bench in this one. Maybe the way to frame it is, could he end up closing games for UTEP? Would they trust him enough to try to throw him out there in those closing minutes? I don't know if they're there yet, but I do like the minutes that he is giving them off the bench right now from what we're seeing. Let's go to the phones. Brian's been patiently waiting with us here on the phone lines. Brian, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Doing well, Brian. What'd you think?
It was a close game, but unfortunately the cards weren't in our favor in this case. I'd like to add on to what George was saying in right now about Baylor has defense outweighing Ahmad Bynum's offense. I'm going to sound like a broken record because I've mentioned this in my last three calls, but how is Baylor Hebb on scholarship for this team if his defense is not that great? But the point being, though, is that if you want to have a good ending to the game, I suggest you look at the variables of Ahmad Bynum's offense compared to Baylor Hebb's defense. Because if you put Ahmad Bynum out there and he closes out the game for UTEP, you got a lot of close games that you can win. Well, unfortunately, I guess it was not the case today. And, you know, for the fact of the matter, it really comes down to what happens in March. And at some point, you're kind of questioning whether you want UTEP to have that one seed or not. Because last time we got cocky, you know what happened. So we'll see what happens going into March. But overall, this game could have been a lot better for us.
Hey, I'm with you there, Brian. I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. I'm disappointed just like you, and I appreciate you giving us a call here on the program. 915-505-6009. A couple other tweets to get to. Trolley Dodgers. Sloppy game by the UTEP Miners. A couple of bad passes by David Terrell. Bynum steps out of bounds and mishandles another. Three shot clock violations and 6 points allowed wide open slash uncontested under the basket. Otis missed his and one late to tie it, which was just frustrating to cap it off. Steve at Paydirt Steve. So we get better on the boards, but turn it over 17 times, give up too many layups, and let two players score 48 points combined. I know coach hates Bynum and doesn't, or hates that Bynum doesn't defend as well, but neither does his replacement. So, He's questioning that one there. This is coming in from Pinky. Disappointed again. Is it me or the Miners men's basketball team play to the level of their opponents? Just can't understand these types of losses. Hashtag spoiled by Haskins. Trolley Dodgers. Lucky to be even in this by one. They can shake it off and move on. Oh, and conference-wise, everything went the Miners' way in regards to results in other games. Well, that's a good, I mean, that's fair. You know, maybe they had a couple shots break for them on the road in Liberty. And in that FIU game, the Miners closed it out handily. So I'd say that they won that one, no doubt about it. But maybe that Liberty game, you think, hey, couple shots went their way in that one. And as a result, a couple shots didn't go their way against Western Kentucky. Kind of law of averages right there. So that's an interesting take, and I can actually get behind something like that. This is coming in from Tristan Pence. Pin this loss on UTEP's horrible bench coaching. You can't let a guy who averages 10 points per game, Leanders, beat you. Bynum being on the bench in the final 3 minutes is inexcusable. Kudos to Elijah Jones and Baylor Hebb for giving UTEP great minutes. Tristan Pence likes Baylor Hebb. He's buying the Baylor Hebb stock, Sal. That's interesting. He's been a Baylor Hebb fan since day one.
You got to be all in from day one. I respect it.
Okay, a sad UTEP fan says, 42 points in the paint? Why even shoot a three against the Miners? Just drive the ball. Guaranteed points. What is the shooting percentage are we holding the teams to? I'd be shocked if it was less than 45%. Well, I like the shooting split, so I don't like to just go, okay, what is UTEP allowing from, you know, the field? I like to go, what is UTEP allowing from two-point shots? And currently, defensively, UTEP is allowing opponents to shoot 55%. From two-point shots. That's interesting. Now, defensively from beyond the arc and from the perimeter, the Miners are holding opponents to 32% shooting from three-point range. But, Sal, what do you notice about that one? The 55% that teams shoot two-pointers against the Miners throughout the season so far, that puts them kind of in the bottom third of the country.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit concerning, especially when you see just how athletic they can be and how good the defense can be. But it's kind of like when there's a little bit of a spot or a slither of space, these teams are just having their way with it. And the most concerning part, though, it doesn't really tell in the stat, but I wonder what that number is in crunch time and the final couple of minutes. You know what I mean? And the Liberty game, they were able to win that one, but there was a wide open layup that was missed, you know what I mean, by Liberty to close that game out. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to be on the other side. Don't get me wrong, but it's a little bit misleading. This defense is solid, but in the final couple minutes, man, I don't know how these teams are able to get away from it, but maybe it's just them being successful in the half court, you know, and UTEP not able to utilize that in transition on the other side. Who knows?
Two games in the span within a week where the Miners just couldn't close out the game in the last 5 minutes. Fair, right? I mean, that's kind of the fair way to kind of boil this down. If we had to boil all of this down right here, this game, it's two games in a week. Jacksonville State last week, the game tonight against Western Kentucky, had the game, had an opportunity to win. I shouldn't say they should have won or anything like that. Both games, they had opportunities
You're
to
right.
win,
yeah.
And they just couldn't close it out. So that's a good, you know, that I guess that's a good way of kind of summing this up right here. I'll say this defensively real quick, and then we'll get to Milkman and Illegal real quick. UTEP is number one in the country in turnover percentage on defense. They force opponents to turn the ball over almost 25% of the times, almost a fourth of the possessions, UTEP, a quarter of the possessions every single game, they are actually turning opponents over. That's incredible. They're number one in the country for that metric defensively. So while we knock them for their two-point percentage and what they allow, as far as forcing turnovers, there's no one better right now in the country than UTEP in turnover percentage and turnovers forced per game. So let's credit them there as well. And let's also pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, along with Sal Montes, George Guajardo. We are live right now on Inspo Lens as well, whether you're watching us on YouTube, watching us on Twitter and X. We are live right now, Miner Talk, as we continue. We got Milkman on deck. He's going to join us here in just a moment. Want to also mention we will get to our Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. That'll be coming up here later on Miner Talk. And also, we'll be back at the District West, 3233 North Mesa, coming up next Saturday for another edition of a UTEP Miner Talk watch party, I should say, or just a Miner Talk watch party. And it's the Miners taking on the Aggies of New Mexico State, Battle of I-10. Should be a lot of fun. Milkman is next up with us. Milkman, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing well, man.
I know the last time I talked to you guys got all upset at me because I was talking about us being more than a one.
I still can't get over this, Milkman. Are you ready to apologize? I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
First off, let's be clear. I did agree with you that we won't be more than a one-bid league. It's not that I'm saying that we will be. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of like years ago when they started using the term mid-major. I didn't like it because it's like you're already putting yourself behind the eight ball when you say we're a mid major, right?
I see. It's more about the narrative. It's more about like the narrative.
Exactly.
If you just put CUSA in a box and say this is a one bid league, well, it devalues what kind of league it actually is, which is competitive and scrappy and kind of like what Tom was saying earlier. It's entertaining night in, night out with teams who could beat anybody. Like unless you're Florida International, I think 1 through 9 can win CUSA in Huntsville, Alabama, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a realist, and I realize we are not going to be more than a one bid league. It's just I think a lot of the NCAA tournament, it is kind of about narrative. You know what I mean? Yes, it's about money, and that's why they want schools from certain conferences and everything. But a lot of times, it is about narrative. You know, it's just kind of like you're almost handicapping yourself when you say, we're definitely a one-bid league. But, yes, you are correct. We will only be a one-bid league, and I do agree with that. But that aside, I got to say, I kind of feel like Tom, your caller a few callers back, it's not a horribly upsetting loss for me tonight. It's not like they embarrassed themselves. I think I'm just going to go ahead and give up hoping that they're going to out-rebound anybody the rest of the year. But they play good defense, and they did have a chance to win it. It's not the end of the world. They're still in the thick of the hunt. So, God, if they could pull off a win on Saturday, that would be, icing on the cake, the odds of that are probably not great considering, they just lost to NMSU. So, I don't know. We'll see. But it's early. And, anybody who gets too upset about this loss, this definitely isn't the worst thing we've seen all year.
Yeah, and we're also turning the page on January, going to February, too. So still 10 games left, Milkman, as crazy as that sounds. It feels like we're approaching the end, but there's still 10 more games of this. CUSA.
I know. There's a lot of the season left to play. You guys were touching on it about some of the playing time that some of the players are getting. I think we just got to figure that there's something internal going on that we're not privy to, because you guys were absolutely right. Some of those, like the amount of playing time, like for instance, for Bynum, it just doesn't make much sense. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but clearly there's something that we don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see some changes in that. But, again, it's up to the coach, and maybe he's saying something we don't. So I don't know.
Well, hey, Milkman, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009. Really good phone call there by Milkman. Appreciate him weighing in as always. Let's get back to Twitter and X. This is coming in from Manny David. This was from a couple days ago. I will not read this one. I will read this one from Andrew at UTEP Men's Basketball is 15-5. Got to have Bynum in for that whole 1 to 2 minute stretch at the end. This is from our pal UTEP Zay Galindo. Tough loss, showed fight at the end, but need to execute better when in the lead. Giving up that run at the end after going up 5 ultimately was the deciding factor. Let's see if this team can bounce back on Saturday. Hashtag minor talk. Daniel at the bridge under. I know you can't win them all, but Western Kentucky looks like the mediocre self from the NCAA tournament team, and UTEP can't beat them with a different lineup from last year. Golding rotations are becoming an issue too, plus situational awareness. Giving up leads is also an issue. They don't keep their foot on the gas and close out. It's not just really championship material like most claim, including me. And this is one of their, quote, better rosters. That's coming in from Daniel. This is from Chi-Town Minor. You know what? That was entertaining as bleep game, AF game, with both sides missing key players. Win would have been nice, but I like the energy UTEP men's basketball played with. Keep resting Corey Camper Jr. 4 so as not to risk further injury. I have some questions about the end of game lineups, but no shame tonight. Hashtag Minor Talk. Oh, that was a really well said tweet. So good stuff, Chi-Town Minor. The only thing I'll say to that one is the Corey Camper Jr. stuff. Sal, you tell me, based on what Golding said post game, he sounded like he didn't want to commit to anything. He didn't want to say anything whether or not Camper was going to play.
Yeah.
I heard that he was warming up. I heard that he got out of the boot earlier this week. Those are all positive things. If it's a high ankle sprain, or if it's an ankle sprain period, a week turnaround is still too fast, in my opinion. Although, who knows? Maybe he wants to go on Saturday against a real good Middle Tennessee team, and he just says, hey, I feel good enough to play. I went through warm-ups, and it's time to go. The other side to all of this is, if he doesn't play Middle Tennessee, then, of course, you're circling, you know, with a big Sharpie, you're circling February 8th for New Mexico State.
Yeah, it's tough to read, and the crazy part is Saturday is really not that far away, but it feels like it. So how much – it goes from thinking about
it's so true.
Right? Like, we go from thinking about, dang, you know what?
How can he recover?
2 days is ridiculous. That's not long enough. And then you think, well, if it's by the day, he could be hurting in the morning, but then be good by lunchtime. You know, 4 hours is a lot of time. That's really the way that this goes. But, I mean, me personally, if I had to pick and I have no insider knowledge or anything, I would say he's not going to play. I don't see what the point would be. I don't think he should be out there unless he's 100%, 85%, something like that. I wouldn't go with it, especially when there's so much more basketball to play.
You know, there were a couple of listeners pointing that out before the game even started, and we were reporting that he was questionable instead of being doubtful. He was like,
he
might have a chance to play. And so listeners and you know, people on social media, Twitter and X, they were saying, oh, no, don't play Camper. No, save him. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger thing ahead, and that is the CUSA tournament. And that's a really good point, too. So I like those claims. And, yes, they do need Corey Camper Jr., of course, moving forward. This is coming in from the Minor Pickaxe Podcast. Tough loss for the guys at Western Kentucky. We have to take care of the ball better. And bottom line, we need a guard. Step up defensively if Camper can't go. Episode on the way for tonight's recap and the Middle Tennessee preview. Hashtag Minor Talk. Good stuff, Minor Pickaxe Podcast. I'll make sure to check it out. I'll check out the show. Good stuff, guys. Brian, disappointing outcome for the Miners on the road at Bowling Green. We truly had no answer for the McHenry and others on the roster decisions. Seem very questionable to me. Looking at you, Baylor Hebb, it is what it is. We'll see what happens going forward on the road. This is coming in from Shannon. He just gave me the ugly face emoji. This is Daniel Gonzalez. Where's the substitution management from Golding in late situational game? Bynum needs to be in the offense for down the stretch. No Camper, road loss, no surprise. Anthony Ochoa is our reason Bynum's not in for the last possession. I have no clue. Michael James with a bunch of tweets at EPTX Sports Fans. We'll react to all this together here as we go. Two straight weeks, the Miners have had a chance to win the game, and their best shooter is sitting on the bench. Is Golding trying to lose these games on purpose? Hebb played well, but he also let number 4 drive to his left every time he wanted. He should not be closing the game. Horrific game from Otis Frazier III. Although he's been great all season, they should have won this game. Bynum is your closer, and you have him sitting. Unless he is severely hurt, there is no excuse. Glad to see Elijah Jones finally emerging. Heartbreaking loss. Baylor Hebb played his heart out, but there's no excuse for Bynum not to close out the game. Same thing happened against Jacksonville State. You have the best shooter in America and you don't put him in. Every team in CUSA would dream to have that guy. Hashtag Minor Talk. Good points. I'll just say I don't know what ended up happening, man.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because they were chucking up these threes, and you want your best player, your best shooter, so to speak, out there doing what he does best. I mean, this guy is nationally recognized. You got the camera panning to him while he's on the bench in these moments. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's a message being sent or not. I have zero idea. But I do know that if you need threes, you got to have your best three-point shooter available, especially when, to my knowledge, there was really no showing of injury or anything like that.
So, Sal, right now, just to switch it over to women's basketball, because I'm so curious by this cryptic text that we got from our pal Alberto Retta, who just sends watch this. And Alberto is like the most dramatic guy ever. I love him. But like he sends us these kind of things, and I always watch them, and I always get scared and nervous and XYZ and stuff. But Western Kentucky came to the Haskins Center tonight and beat the women's basketball team 65-59. What was said, Sal? I mean, what was on this?
So I was kind of like briefing in and out, and I fast forwarded, but I'll go ahead and play it. This is directly from it, and I guess it's in regards to a question that was asked. I think it was Bloomy who asked this question, so let's see.
Do you feel like you're closer now, though, than you were 24 hours ago?
No, I don't know that I feel any closer right now. I feel like I'm dealing with the same problem that I've been dealing with for last month. Rebounding, making layups, fundamentals. We'll just be a little bit more fundamentally sound. We turn a lot of games into wins. So I got to be a better coach, and I got to drill us, and we got to get fundamentally sound. We just need to, I guess I need to pull out my coach's eighth grade practice where all we did for an hour was passing, dribbling, shooting, and layups, and free throws, and rebounding. Is that enough? I'm pissed.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
By the way, great sound, Sal. That was we've never done this before in the history of 600 ESPN El Paso, but that sounded incredible.
Last time I played audio from my phone on a microphone instead of whatever, the dongle, I don't know what it's called now. I was at EPCC, and I called my little cousins to premiere the turkey song.
Wow, what a throwback.
That was so
if you
long
know,
ago.
You know.
Yeah, but no, man, I mean, dang, that's good, but the video is a lot better. So shout out to our man Alberto for the footage.
Yeah, he's got to throw that out there. I mean, I get it. It's the frustrations. I'd be pissed too, just like Keith had just said right there. I'd be just as mad if it feels like they're not taking steps forward and they're kind of taking steps back or not even in the same spot. So, yeah, women's basketball loses tonight 65-59. That was an update we got from our pal Alberto Urreta, who was on site for the game. Good stuff, Alberto. Really appreciate that. Chris on the program, closing out with Heb instead of Bynum was Bynum was confusing. Heb got killed on defense. No campers hurting them on defense. Agreed. King Eric, my pal. Disappointing loss fueled by yet another questionable Joe Golding lineup in the final 45 seconds. Why is Heb in instead of Bynum? I understand Heb is the defender, but Bynum leads the nation in three-point percentage. Throw him out there. He was out there like the final minute, but you know that was when it was kind of too late. Joe Chacon, let me know if I saw this differently. There were three times that I saw Otis Frazier III with at least 10 feet of room in front of him and not drive to the rim in the last 4 minutes of the game. This team's MO is giving up the easy layups. We need to get ours. This is, you know, that's an interesting point, and I've looked at the layup stat for a while, Sal. I'm going to throw it out again. UTEP, 12 of 21 for layups tonight. Western Kentucky, 13 of 19. So they weren't, like, exceptional, kind of like how Jacksonville State, they finished everything at the rim. But Miners, 12 of 21, that doesn't sit right.
No, it doesn't, especially when you see how athletic and quick that this team is. We've seen it before. There's a lot of clips, a lot of highlights, all of that fun stuff, but when it matters the most, doesn't seem like they, in this loss at least, doesn't seem like they utilize that to their advantage.
I'm with that completely there, Sal. 915-505-6009. This is coming in from some guy, Chris. I'll ask you on this one, George, to react. Devin Barnes is 6 of 26, 23% from three-point range in his last six games. He was 14 of 25, 56% in the last four games after that. Prior to that, I should say. He was 14 of 25, so 56%. So a significant dip we've seen so far, or during this stretch, from Devin Barnes.
Yeah, I brought it up last week, right? Or last game. He's 5 for 17 over his last two, and now he's 6 for 26. He's struggling on the floor. Bit of a cold streak, it happens, right? But I think we've taken for granted how much of a catalyst offensively Devin Barnes is, right? He's a little bit on the smaller side, right? And although he's very, very crafty defensively, he's a little bit limited to what he can do as far as limiting the other opposing guards. So he makes up for that by being very efficient on offense and hitting like killer three-pointers in people's faces. That stopped. It's a bit of a cold streak. It's a little bit concerning that it's now turned into three games. I don't know, man. I thought the end of, what was it, the Kennesaw State game, where he got going by driving into the lane, getting those nice runners, using the glass, right? We didn't see that at all tonight, and he was a total liability once again offensively, like he was against Jacksonville State. So I don't know, man. Maybe there's a... a little bit of sports psychology therapy he needs, or he just needs to stay in the gym a little bit longer. But he's on a cold streak right now, and hopefully he can snap out of it because we need him.
Okay, first off, there's a lot to unpack there. So the first thing I'm going to unpack is the liability offensively. I don't think he's that at all. I'm not going there, because what he does offense, I mean, 6 assists to 0 turnovers, he's obviously doing something right. Like, the 3 steals are good. It's the shooting splits that aren't adding from last year, and it's the shooting splits that didn't improve from last season. And that's, to me, what I was hoping for Devin Barnes, looking at him from the outside coming into UTEP. Thinking, okay, he could be this efficient scorer for the Miners. Maybe kind of take that, I don't know if it was the Tay Hardy role or whatever you want to say, but he could take that scoring volume role. And he's gotten to his points. I mean, he gets to 11 when he shoots 3 for 12 from the field. So to call him a liability, I don't think that's it. I do think he has a lot on his shoulders, and maybe even more on his shoulders with and on his plate without the likes of Corey Camper Jr. I just simply say there's no excuses. You got to level up right here. If you're going up against Western Kentucky, if you truly are that guy who's coming from Tarleton State over to UTEP, and it doesn't have to be him. I'm singling Devin Barnes out here, but it could be Otis Frazier III being the senior leader on this team, which a lot of people were talking about. It could be Baylor Hebb, who was thrown into the mix and was asked to play a bigger role today, even if he shouldn't have been closing out the final minutes. It's these guys in year 4 of a system. Him, just unable to close out in the final minutes of a game against Western Kentucky. And that's, the second time it's happened. Last week, they had a chance against Jacksonville State. They had Jacksonville State, that game was in the balance with the last 5 minutes or so, and the Gamecocks closed that one out. This one was really tight in the end, and the Hilltoppers, they closed this one out in the final 3 minutes of this game. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number on the program. Hunter is next up with us. I've been waiting for this one here. Hunter, what's going on, man? How are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. What's going on?
Man, I get it with the Baylor Hebb haters. I don't think he's that bad. I mean, he's
wow, I didn't expect this to be your first thing you'd say. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I don't understand why they trash him so much. Like, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt Bynum needs to be in there at the end of the game. I don't care what the circumstances are. Nothing else matters. That guy's a bucket. And he's the reason they won at Liberty in a tight game. It's like this team and Golding have zero memory. You know what I mean? Like, he won that game at Liberty with clutch shots at the end that he wasn't really open on. He can create his own shot. Why would you not have your only guy that is actually capable of that on the floor? Now, conversely, I wouldn't have Hebb on the floor in that time, but he's not just a terrible player. I don't know what they're basing this on. Like, what are they seeing that this guy's just trash, I actually thought, and I'm not a huge fan of him, but I don't think he's as far off as people think. At that NMSU game, where everybody was just garbage, I actually thought he was the best player that game for him. And I think he probably had the best plus-minus that game, too. He was the only one attacking, the only one aggressive. He He was creating for himself, creating for others. He was battling on defense. You know, he's not terrible, but yes, I wouldn't have had him in at the end. That's more Golding dumbness right there. The problem is short memory, right? He doesn't remember that that's the guy that won you the game at Liberty. And apparently there's no memory from play to play. You know, I don't understand how you watch one guy just do the same thing over and over and over again. How many points did he score at the end to beat him? And it was all to the left. It was all around 4 feet to a layup. Force him to do – if he beats you, oh, well. Force him to do something else. And they never do that. It's like it's clueless. This possession is the first possession of the game. We have no clue what's been going on all game. What do you guys think the answer to that is? I don't even care about the weird substitution. He's not a good substitution guy and not a good game. What do you think the problem is defensively where we don't adjust at all?
I think they go in. This is my honest thought to you, Hunter. I think they go in with a game plan, and I think they believe in that game plan more than they believe that player is going to make another shot.
He kept doing it. I mean, what do you need to see? And it's not an isolated event. It happens repeatedly when they lose these games. There's just no difference. And there's got to come a point where he says, don't let that guy beat you. I don't care if someone else beats you. Don't let that guy beat you. And until you get to that point, and until you take away who they're – and it can change. It's like UTEP. UTEP can have a different weapon every game, and they can go off. And if someone's going off, make someone else beat you. It used to be whoever the other team's best player is, all right, make someone else beat you. Nowadays it can be anybody. A lot of teams have two or three guys and go off. You can see the hot hand, just like that little guy from Liberty that I can't stand. And they let him do everything. It's the same thing. There's no game plan. There's no strategy. It's just, this is our system, and if somebody beats us, oh well. It's just, it's really odd. I'm not used to that, I guess. But substitutions need to improve. I've been a huge Frazier fan since he's come on the team, and I got my buddy Mr. Fournier there. Just never been a big fan of him. I have, however, and he's by far their most valuable player.
I agree.
He might not be their best shooter or whatever, but overall, most valuable player. But you're a senior, you're a leader, you got to hit that free throw. You can't make stupid mistakes going behind the back in critical situations either. That's not a senior move. That's not a smart move. He seems real lackadaisical, real cavalier with the ball in critical times. I can't stand that. You know, we need more out of the MVP and out of the 4-year senior. You know, that's just inexcusable in my opinion. But let's see what they do Saturday. It's going to be more of the same. He squeezes every little bit out of them, but there's a whole lot of, you ever hear that saying, work smarter, not harder? I think these guys never do that. It's always just, we'll just work harder, and we'll work harder again. We'll work harder. Why don't we get smart for once?
It's a good hypothetical question, or rhetorical question, I should say. Let me ask you this one right here, Hunter. I'm just going to throw you names, because you said Otis Frazier III, and you held him accountable, and I agree on what you were saying right there. I'll throw out names, okay? These are all transfer portal guys during the Joe Golding era, okay? Elijah Jones, Jarrell Satterfield, Alfred Hollins, Jamari Sibley, Shamar Givens, Devin Barnes, Mario McKinney, Carlos Lemus, Tay Hardy, Zid Powell. Is Otis Frazier the best transfer portal get in the Joe Golding era for 4 years, over 4 years, in your opinion?
100%. You know, and you guys, I forgot to mention, you know, you guys were talking about Barnes, and I don't know who it was that mentioned him as a liability. That guy's a ball player. His problem, and it's a coaching issue, is shot selection. He is not smart with shot selection. And it's called, you know, you want to shoot in rhythm, right? You want the ball to come to you. You got to have everything in rhythm. And when he is in rhythm, that shot tends to fall. He shoots a very high percentage. But those quick release, off balance, you know, just ill-timed, ill-conceived shots, he puts a lot of them up, and I get it. He gets freedom because he's a shooter. But if he would be more selective on his shots, I guarantee you that percentage just shoots up. But he's not, and it's the same with all of them. Frazier doesn't need to be jacking up half those threes that he does, but he does anyway. The only one that I would give that freedom to is Bynum. Barnes is not that elite of a shooter. He is a very good shooter. So if he would just improve his shot selection, that percentage would go up a lot. You know, if he could have shot three less threes a day, and it would have been an awesome game. And maybe we get something out of that possession versus, you know, a quick jacked up three that didn't come within any sort of rhythm or, you know, a play run for him or anything. So if I get it, they want to have a lot of offensive freedom. I get it. He gives them that because they work so hard. But once again, we come to the IQ part of the game that they lack, and it starts at Golden. He lacks a lot of that. He's great at certain aspects, but he's not too much on X's and O's, not too much on strategy, not too much on adjustments. And it's just, it's a dumb team at times. And you got to, who's the ringleader of it, right? So if they would just, he put an emphasis on shot selection, emphasis on rebounding every now and then, emphasis on forcing players to go away from what their strengths are, which are basic basketball fundamentals, they'd be all right. They'd be a lot tougher team to beat.
Fair, man. Is that all, Hunter? Any thoughts going into the next two road games? Any final thoughts and parting thoughts for us?
You just never know what they're going to bring, man. I mean, they're close. They are on the brink of being that team in this weak conference. Everybody says, oh, it's a tough conference. No, it isn't. It's a bunch of mediocre teams. So when everybody – it's competitive, I'll give it that. Everybody's at the same mediocre level. You know, NMSU can look like world beaters against UTEP. That Filipovic or whatever his name is looks like, you know, Jokovic against UTEP, but it's a lot of competitiveness. But if they could clean those things up, they'd be an elite team in this conference.
You know, I'm laughing real hard because before you called in on the program, I was trying to think, all right, is Hunter going to call today? He feels the texts I'm getting are passionate, and usually what follows a passionate string of texts is a call, and he does give us the call, and I was guessing Hunter's takes. I was playing that in my head, and I was thinking, is Hunter's going to say something about CUSA being mediocre? And I'm laughing that he closed it out by saying that. So good stuff, Hunter. Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Sal will react to that call right after this. Kurt has been waiting with us patiently, so let's get to Kurt, and then we'll react to both calls right after that. Kurt, good evening, man. What's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Kurt, we're doing great. It's good to hear you.
Well, I got a lot to say. You know, this team, it comes down to the coaching at the end of the game and stuff. You know, like the previous caller, Hunter, said with Bynum not being in there, that's just no excuses for that. Your best shooter should be in the ball game, and he wasn't in there. And I question Golding's management of substitutions during every game that are in now. So, and then of course the rebounds, they're not there, and they're never going to be there because this team doesn't know how to rebound. And there's no dogs on this team. You know, you either coach them to rebound or you don't coach them to rebound. So I have no idea what's going on in practice or what they teach them or. But it comes down to the coaches and of course, not having the right players too. Our bigs are soft. I've said this before. They're not active. They don't attack the glass. They're just not good enough. So I'm going to tell you that like it is. And until we improve that, and this conference is, you know, it's competitive, but when we go to Mount West, guys, 2026, what are we going to do then? We've got tougher competition. You know, what recruits are we going to get? This coach is going to be around for this. You know, we got to have all those questions got to be answered in 2026. Your thoughts, guys?
Great point, Kurt. I mean, it's like my favorite point. It's like the best slam dunk that we can say all the time now, Sal. Like it's our ultimate crutch, but it's true. It's not a crutch. It's just facts. UTEP's headed to the Mountain West in a year and a year and a change. They got to be ready, man. This can't be the same UTEP CUSA team, the CUSA team that you've known the Miners to be. No, they've got to up their game.
Yeah, and they have two more conference tournaments to do something about it. All sandwiching in the regular season at Conference USA as well, because it's not the same level like when other teams go to other conferences. I get it. Texas and the Big 12 going to the SEC, them just getting the extra elbows and stuff like that. I'm not saying it's going to be specifically that, but some of these other teams are going to be like, you really don't deserve that promotion. You're just there because you're a nice football stadium and you have some good donors. It's pretty much it. If they start winning, they could get a lot more donors, but they're going to be getting people's best even more so next year. I don't – what is Delaware coming or whatever they're called? I have no idea who they are.
They are coming.
Missouri State, all of those other teams are going to be like, all right, we're the new kids on the block. We'll see how you can handle that. So believe it or not, if UTEP's having trouble with the likes of Western Kentucky, Florida International, Delaware's coming in, and they're going to want to make a statement as well next year. So even though you're going over there, you're still going to get these teams best. Best of teams that are not even, you know, top 150 in basketball, whatever the case is, you're going to be getting it, man. It's not going to get any easier than it is now. And it's not easy right now.
As you were saying all this, in my head, I was thinking to myself, are we unfair in the sense that we say, oh, these teams like pushovers like Kennesaw and Jacksonville State and Sam Houston State, when they enter CUSA, and then, like, we're saying, oh, well, UTEP's got to rise up to the Mountain West, rise up to, like, that competition and stuff like that. I guess maybe that's fair, right? Because we're saying, like, when you're making that jump from the FCS or from a lower-level mid-major conference to CUSA, there's going to be a bit of a learning curve. Now, Sam Houston State would argue that men's basketball last year, and they'd say, well, we were regular season champs. And then I'd say to that, well, look at football. So football just showed you right away that football takes some time to adjust to that FBS level. And at the end of the day, it's all that matters is winning the CUSA tournament. You're not getting, other than a banner or a medal, nothing for winning this regular season.
Yeah, and if we're honest too, a lot of those promotions or upgrades or whatever the case is, right? The updates, rather, if you're a team trying to go up, a lot of it is done at the football level. That's where majority of that funding comes from. So I say this to say there's a lot of good basketball teams in Division I that don't really have good football programs. You know what I mean? So these teams are having something to say, but it's so interesting, man, because we're frustrated over losing to Western Kentucky. And I get it. That's a team that's had UTEP's number. But if you're getting your butt kicked by Western Kentucky, you're not winning in these clutch games, those Wyoming losses are going to hurt, man. UNLV is not going to be easy to take. So if you can't win in your own conference, what makes you think that they're going to win over at the next one?
You know, and another point to that, just to add to that, by the way, big shout out to Gloria Navarez, Mountain West commissioner, because if you're following along to all that's going on in the TV rights deals, secretly, or I shouldn't say secretly, behind the scenes, the Mountain West is taking care of a really nice and a real lucrative TV deal that could range anywhere between $45 million and $50 million when it's all said and done per year average for TV deal for the Mountain West. So that is the rumor. Those are the rumors that are circulating right now. So a lot of people were worried. Some people, I should say, were worried, oh, would the Mountain West not necessarily have a great media deal? But yes, Luke Fletcher, who is somebody who writes for the Mountain West or talks about the Mountain West, he wrote today that he has been told that Mountain West media deal is in the $48 to $55 million per year extension range. And right now, All their schools are committed to staying within the Mountain West. There's no one. There were some rumors. Oh, could UNLV entertain a Pac-12 move? Could Nevada might jump over there? No, that's not. At least as of right now, the TV rights deals are being negotiated, and as a result, these teams are locked in that conference. Guys, I don't think we should spend any time talking the conference USA standings. We should do that on Saturday. Anything we talk about right now will be, you know, moot on Saturday. But I do want to bring Alberto Retta on because he made an appearance, and I'm so happy that he showed up here on the program because we played the video, Alberto, from a dejected Keitha Adams from tonight. And welcome aboard. Thank you for covering the sports talk production duties for me today. And then thank you for going out to UTEP women's basketball, which, by the way, they celebrate 50 years of women's basketball on Saturday. What a cool thing for the women's basketball team, the program, and everything. It's just not a good time right now, you know, just to be on this squad or just to look at this team and what they're doing. A dejected Keitha Adams, just, it was a loss for words in the postgame.
Yeah, dejected and extremely frustrated. Obviously, congratulations to the program on the big 5-0. But yeah, I think that's definitely going to be a Minor Talk exclusive. I usually plan on putting out the press conferences in their entireties, but I don't think that one. I might keep that one just to us. But yes, she is asked about if she feels any closer to being. If she feels any closer than she did just 24 hours ago, and she just goes on a long tirade about, well, fundamentals. Maybe if we made more layups, if we boxed out, if we got more rebounds, if we just played better, if we dribbled and pat. And you know what? And I just get up and you can't blame her. You know, sometimes it's better to just get up from a situation and leave when your feelings boil over. And the team just has slow periods. In the second quarter, they score only 9 points, right? Two Miners are the only Miners to score, Ivan Tensai and Luisa Vidrova. In the third quarter, they do a little better. They catch a little heat there towards the end. They cut the lead to 51-44 going into the fourth quarter. And then that fourth quarter, it looks like they have an opportunity with 2 minutes left. The game is tied up, but unfortunately, they just run out of steam and they can't get it done. And Western Kentucky wins this one 65-59. And she's extremely frustrated, but there's 2 minutes left and you're tied and you're there. You're tied against a team that's far, far superior to you. So I think that's what makes it more so frustrating. The fact that you're so close, but also, yeah, I think so far.
Okay, let me tee you up for something else for this, because that was some really good stuff. But there are people on Twitter and X, and I know you feel a way about this, and you've talked about this a lot here on Minor Talk, so no need to rehash a lot of thoughts on this. But just expand a little bit on your take, because you stand on the fact that, like, when people say, oh, fire Keitha, which I think is outlandish just in two seasons, regardless of the record, regardless of what you think about her, it's just two seasons in. And she's also built something huge at UTEP. Let's put some respect on the name. But I'll say, to that point, you've been adamant, Alberto, that the thing that really hurts them and holds them back is the lack of NIL and resources compared to other teams and, you know, other programs that you're seeing across college hoops.
Yeah, I mean, it just really slows them down in the recruiting department, right? And she told the fan base at the very beginning the realities of recruiting and what that has become now. And it's just, you sit down with an American player and you kind of lay down your vision for the program, and the first thing when you open up questions to them, the first thing the athlete asks is, "What can you do for me? What do you bring? What monies and dollars and cents do you bring?" And there isn't necessarily all the dollars and cents in the bank. So you have to go international. You have to look other places, and you have to go to the JUCO route and maybe commit to developing players, where other programs, you know, they don't have to do that. And I think that really slows them down. And she told us that from the beginning. So I'm going to believe the coach when they tell us something.
Yeah,
you something from the beginning.
Yeah, and if everybody else on other CUSA teams are getting, you know, players left and right, then you're seeing that they're benefiting off of an NIL. So good stuff. Great reporting there, Alberto. I really appreciate it, man. And thank you for weighing in on this one. And I really do believe that you should still post that one. I think it was too much sizzle in that video to not post. So I'll probably be seeing it on Twitter next later. It was really good stuff. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Guys, we're winding it down. Let's start wrapping this one up. Let's get ready for Saturday. It's an afternoon tip-off. It's Middle Tennessee. Sal, you think that they'll still win two of their three on the road? Are you going to stand by that?
No, yeah. I said it. I got to stand by it, man. Give me that one.
Okay. I think it's still a really good take. So I think they still have a chance to do it. They could win on the road against Middle Tennessee, maybe get some momentum ahead of the Battle of I-10. I still have them only winning one of these three. My point will be either validated coming up on Saturday or not. By next Saturday, we'll find out. But I think it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be tough. Like, Zay texted me right as the game ended. Where are they getting their next win? Is it against Middle Tennessee, or is it against New Mexico State? And I think that's a valid question. So let's see what happens here for the Miners as they turn the page. Guys, our hot hand of the game. Man, there's some really good options here. David Terrell Jr., 15 points, 8 assists, but 4 turnovers, and he did chip in with 4 steals. 38 minutes of action tonight. Devin Barnes, 11 points, 3 of 12 from the field. Otis Frazier III, 11 points, 4 of 12 from the field. He also chipped in with 4 steals, 7 rebounds, 34 minutes of action in this game. Elijah Jones, 10 points, 13 minutes. I'll let you decide, George. Where are we going here? Hot hand of the game. This is thanks to our great friends at Wind Supply El Paso.
I got to say, Elijah Jones, he just
those
brief minutes that he is getting, although they are increasing, as you said earlier, he's just really, really effective. And not that Terrell had a horrible game. He was just a little bit sloppy at times. 15 points is nice for him, too shy of his career high, right? So
that's
you
right.
Still love that. But yeah, no, Elijah Jones, that guy is a jolt of energy every time he's on the floor.
Elijah Jones, he is the Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. Stay on schedule with Wind Supply El Paso. It's still cold outside, so if you need maintenance and repair operations, check out windsupplyelpaso.com. Click on the tab and check out what they have. Click the Find a Dealer tab. Check out the Champion Dealers, the Master Cool Dealers that they have on the Find a Dealer tab. That is windsupplyelpaso.com. And also want to give a big shout out to Jack in the Box. They've got 15 locations in El Paso. They're open 365, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you name it. Jack in the Box is the best spot to go before and after every game. That is going to do it for us, guys. I think we did a great job here tonight of pinging around the different emotions that were kind of felt after this one. I know, a little disappointing after a UTEP loss again to Western Kentucky. However, they have a chance to turn around pretty quickly against Middle Tennessee and get momentum ahead of the Battle of I-10. Plus, there's still 10 games left in CUSA. And it all doesn't matter until the CUSA tournament because it's a one-bid league. There you go, Milkman. Shout out to you, man. I appreciate you making me feel better after talking out your initial take, and I feel much better going to bed today after this one. Sal, any final thoughts here tonight? UTEP loses on the road to Western Kentucky 78-74.
Yeah, they're going to be taking on a team who's disappointed as well because they lost their game, that being Middle Tennessee. So they're getting a team that has something to play for yet again, a team who wants to prove something. It's not going to be easy. But the fun part is, Adrian, is just watching just a lot of these games come down to the final couple of minutes. So
yeah.
If you're filtering through it, you're going to see some pretty solid basketball. And we're still in January. That's the interesting part. The window's only going to get smaller for that margin of error. So, I mean, man, we're going to see teams really fighting these next couple of weeks and maybe even some separation.
Maybe even some separation.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe one team starts to distance themselves, go on a hot streak right before the CUSA tournament. So it's a really good point. If you missed anything, check us out on Inspo Lens as well as our on-demand podcast. That's Minor Talk, wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Chris Collins from Inspo Lens. Check him out, Inspo Lens, on Twitter and X. And, of course, on YouTube as well. That'll do it for us all here in the studio. For Sal Montes, for Alberto Retta, for George Guajardo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off tonight, saying so long, thanks for listening. Western Kentucky defeats UTEP 78-74. We'll be back in action on Saturday for another edition of Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.